Heidi and Frank Show, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. You're probably going to need that at some point during the show. We have Dean McDermott in the Bristol Farms Green Room, and I know he's been messing around with Eric, so what have you guys been up to? Get Dean in here. Where is he? He was supposed to be on the show last week, and he's finally made it here.
Busy man.
Dino!
Traffic was that
busy,
bad.
Sick man.
Was it the traffic and the rain that kept you away?
No, it was sickness.
Sickness? What'd you have? Are you okay now?
I had a migraine. Oddly enough, because all four of my kids...
were speaking at the same time?
They were, yes. They constantly give me a migraine. Some are worse than others. No, it's like a big Petri dish in my home. Like, I have four germs. They just run
and they're
around
all leaking
and all these
stuff.
Sick, and they leak, and sometimes it's clear, and sometimes it's green. And
then it's not like you can't, as a parent, you can't just go, I can't be, I got to work tomorrow. I can't help you. Or, you know, you have to.
But I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Right.
They have little circles where I touch them with 10-foot poles. Keep them away.
Here's your Kleenex. Go to your room. Get away. I got to work tomorrow.
Ew, get away.
Those aren't pet fences. Those are kid fences in the house. It's like he steps over to get away from
them. Right. I love your family.
Thank you. That's so cool.
Followed you from the beginning, was every show, watched every episode, read all the books, all of it. I love you guys.
Bless your heart. Well, I love your family. Like, I've been listening to you guys. I love you guys. Eric and Sammy, you guys are great. You make me laugh, and you put a smile on my face.
What time do you usually wake up in the morning and tune on the show?
I get up 6:45, 7.
Oh, wow.
I hit my car at about 7:30, and it goes on right away. Take the kids to school. And then continue. I go to my 12-step meeting after I drop the kids off.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
One year.
1 year. Sober man.
1 year being sober, that's got to suck.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, in that weird way, it's like you never thought you could do it. It kind of sucks.
Well, it's not my first kick of the can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had 3 years.
But here's
and then
what
I went out again.
And again, because I've watched the whole show, and when that all came out, when the whole, that you were going to go to AA, I was like, what? I never even saw you with a drink in your hand on that show.
Yeah.
Like, I never was like, oh, we're going to have, I mean, maybe you went out to
that
dinner.
That means it's serious.
You went out to dinner and you had a glass of wine or something, but I didn't, that one blew me away. I was like, what? That wasn't even, you hit it well.
Most, when you find out when people are alcoholics, they're not, you're not like, oh yeah, I knew that. It's usually like, I had no idea, because we're so good at hiding it.
That is crazy to me. And so
it's not something you run around to, are they going?
No, you're not even supposed to talk about, I guess.
I'm a drunk.
I know. All right. Well, but that's huge. So 1 year.
Thank you.
How is life? Did you? So obviously, you've probably lost weight from not boozing.
I lost 20 pounds in rehab. But then like when you get happy in life, you start to put, I put 10 back on.
Fat and happy.
Yeah, fat and happy.
A lot of time, because I had a friend who was he's been, I think, sober 10 years now, but he was into meth. And he was like super skinny. So then he goes into the program and gets sober and all that. But then because he is an addictive personality, he got into food.
Yeah.
Right. So then he got really big, and then he gave that up, and now is addicted to working out. So there's always that, like,
so
I'm
he's
addicted
an addictive
to
personality. He has to replace it with something.
Well, and I do the same thing. I love ice cream and cookies. Like, that's my Achilles heel. So I'll go down that road. But, there's a saying, save your ass first, then worry about it later.
Oh, all right. I like that.
Now, you recently announced that you're not going to be on or participating on the show anymore, True Tory.
This is true.
How's that going to work if there's a camera crew in your house? You'll just be gone on those days.
I'm coming in! Turn it off!
I got to get something out of the refrigerator real quick.
Sneaking around, crawling through.
Oddly enough, you can do that, yeah. You can sneak around cameras and stuff in the house, but because it's not like this. I see you got cameras set up to grab all the angles and stuff. We have two cameras on the go.
Right.
And that's it. Nothing's set.
I always wondered like how invasive is that? Because the four kids, like.
But, it's not, because the kids, they grew up with
this
crew.
So these are the same guys?
The same guys. Okay. We've been, blessed that we're able to get the same guys we work with, like, from the bed and breakfast.
Right.
We've had the same cameramen. They're like uncles and cousins. And, it's so great when I'm feeling down about doing the show or something, or it's just like, oh God, I wish I had my house back. I look over and the cameras are on the ground and the cameramen are on the trampoline with the kids, and it's like, oh yeah, I love that.
So it's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad. I've learned a lot about
it. They can't use any of that footage though. It's gonna make you sick as hell.
Blair Witch Project kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
But the show has been really great. I learned a lot about myself, and it's helped us tremendously, because it really sort of expedited what we had to do.
Don't know if I could have done it. Burying your soul with a camera in your private bedroom. There's a camera guy.
There's
and you're
bedroom
like,
shots.
Well, and there's like you're having a a very intimate, private conversation.
Full on breakdown. Like, I've cried like I've never cried before in my life, and you know, I put it out there, and what really hurts is when people, like, you get feedback and people think you're a douche and all this kind all this stuff, you know, and you're like, oh, but I'm bearing my soul. I'm trying to, you know, like that,
I'm trying to be better myself, and
that really hurts. So that has really affected my recovery, is the negative feedback. So
that's probably one of the reasons you don't want to do the show.
It's good for me to keep it at arm's length because it sets me back. You know, believe it or not, I'm like, you know, this big guy, but I'm a sensitive cat.
You are a very large man. I didn't realize how big you were. How tall are you?
6'3".
Have you ever been offered like any superhero roles before?
Oh, he'd be a great superhero. No.
Villain, maybe?
No. I love playing bad guys. I played some really good bad guys. There was a movie I did with Ving Rhames called Saving God.
Oh, you had the shaved mohawk.
Yeah.
You're like Frank in that you can look super sweet, GQ, handsome, scruffy.
Thank you.
I know, I hate to say that about him, but it's true. And then it pains me.
I say it about him all the time.
But then you can also, like, you're the man of a million looks, too. Like, you can look like this, or you can, when you shave your head into a mohawk, not everybody can pull off, like, and I guess that's
you're saying
probably
he could
why
be a good
actor.
Serial killer, because he could blend in.
I can also do dork. I do dork really well.
You do the, you got to comb the bangs down.
Due South. I was a Doofus Mountie on Due South.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And this, called The Tournament. It was a Canadian series about hockey parents, and I played this Kia salesman, Stan Rickman, who was so I could do anything, you know.
He's a good
I
actor,
really can.
Kids.
I could do anything. I think I'm a character actor, sort of in a leading man kind of look.
Dean McDermott hanging out with us. If you were going to be trapped on a television show or inside of a television show for the next 30 years, which show would it be?
What do you love?
For the next 30 years.
We know it's not True Tory.
It's not True Tory.
It lasted two years.
I'm a huge fan of the show Kingdom about the MMA fighters.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that show, but because that's too new in my wheelhouse, so I would have to say Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. You'd like to be on the.
I love that show. The actors.
Total
are so
stress
great.
And anxiety for the next 30 years.
Which the parking lot looks like, by the way. It looks like Terminus.
Yes, everybody comes here.
That is so true.
It's like a prison ground.
Oh, yeah, you should go around back. It is ridiculous.
We could shoot.
We had a crackhead sleeping in one of our vans back there.
Yeah, crackhead
that's true.
You want me to go stab him in the head? I'll get an old bayonet and I'll just stab him in the head.
Right.
Heidi, same question. You're trapped in a television show for the next 30 years.
Rizzoli and Isles. Love me some Angie Harmon.
Orange is the New Black, probably for you.
The show is
doing a
30-year
stint in,
probably,
in the pen.
Probably
the
Modern,
L word.
Modern Family. No, God, no. Probably Modern Family.
That was my second.
Yeah, I love them. I love just love it. Like, you just feel all a part of it, and everybody's happy and having fun and a good time. So probably Modern Family.
I would say How to Get Away with Murder. Or the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Either one of those.
I'm glad you took that one and not me, because I get a lot of flack for that one.
Did you happen to catch it the other night when it was on, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show?
Nope, I was busy.
I have four children. I only have time for what's on the DVR, and that's American Horror Story, Kingdom.
Watching that, too.
UFC, or Walking Dead. Or MotoGP. That's it.
By
that's
the way, are
I
you
watch.
Still racing? Do you still do?
I haven't been out in a year because it's been quite a crazy year.
Right.
But I'm going to start up again next year. Not racing, but track days. So track days, you just kind of go out and you race against yourself. You race against the clock.
Because it's different. It's like when you're a single guy, you're out on your motorcycle, and all of a sudden you've got a wife and four kids. And it's like, I don't want you to do. Which I understand that. You start to get worried. You're like, honey. You have me and four kids.
When I got a lady and two kids, I went out and bought a motorcycle. I'm like, come on.
You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, just because you're in a serious relationship and you have kids, you shouldn't change the things that you love to do. You just have to be a little more careful about it. You know, that's why I do track days. It's a lot safer to race on a track than it is to ride your motorcycle just to get from point A to point B.
Everybody else.
You know, everybody's going in the same direction.
You've been hit on your motorcycle? I mean, I don't know. In LA.
Yeah, I was here and I was at a stoplight and I got bumped in the back tire. And I was like, the guy behind me hit me, and I pulled out to the side and he pulled up and I was like, were you blind? And I swear,
and
to
he
God,
was.
One of his eyes looked like a galaxy. You know, like a Milky Way. I was like, oh my God, you are blind. All right, sorry. Dude. Watch out.
Was he like the kid in the, what's the movie, Jim Carrey and Renee Zellweger, the albino dude?
Yeah. The eye freaked me out. I was like, okay.
And then you're
okay.
Like, oh, no, never mind.
I'm out of here.
It's fine.
But then I stopped riding it to work. And now it's just like I have my bike and I ride on the weekends, or I'll go over
you
to
should
the
come
hall
and do. You should come and do a track day. It
fun.
Makes you a better rider. Even if you just do the novice course and you never set foot on a racetrack again, it makes you a better rider.
What do you got? What are you riding?
Right now, my street bike is a Ducati Sport Classic 1000, and my track bike is a Ducati 1098R.
All right, I got Ducati as well.
What do you got?
S4RS, Tricolore, Monster.
Oh, that's like, right. Yeah, like, I heard you talking about the
like
Tricolore.
Like red, white, and green.
It's
yeah,
a limited
right?
edition, right?
I got number one.
Number
dude.
One. That's
oh,
awesome.
It is. I was like, awesome. I got to get it. I go,
you
what's
do
one in the window?
Right. That's how you shop. Like, he goes to a car dealer and it's like, that one on the showroom
yeah.
floor
where,
with a bow on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, where's the car on the stage that's spinning in a
wow.
circle?
That's
yeah.
the one I want.
I don't even need to see it. I'll take it.
Right.
Wow, you pockets are that deep, Frank? I got to get a radio show.
Right?
Oh, hell yeah. They pay me the big bucks around here.
Damn.
I mean, they don't spend it on furniture.
No.
Well, I got to say, you know, you got to stock the fridge in the green room. I'm happy that there's a big tub. I was really thirsty. There's a big tub of whipped cream cheese.
That's Sammy's.
Is that Sammy's?
Yeah.
Well, you know how the water rises to the top? I was able to sample a bit of that because I was parched. So thank goodness that
yeah.
was there.
They're able to pay Frank a lot.
Is there anything in that green room refrigerator at all?
There were some coconut waters in there that were
that coconut water?
Quarter of the way full.
Oh.
And the
that
lipstick,
coconut water
lipstick
we
on
started
the...
3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're not known for our classy fridge drinks.
Dean McDermott hanging out with us. Let's take a quick break. Come right back. We are Heidi and Frank.
KLOS.
Welcome back to the Heidi and Frank Show, broadcasting live from the Morongo Casino Studios in Los Angeles, California. You can follow us on Twitter at Heidi and Frank and like us on Facebook, Heidi and Frank Show. And with us in the studio is Dean McDermott, ladies
hey.
And gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. I know you tried to get in here last week because you were ill, but thanks for coming by because I think this is close to the end of 2014 for us.
Yeah.
We're going on vacation.
Tomorrow's our last day, so we have a little like senioritis.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's like it's May and your senior year, and you're like, oh, we're almost out.
Are you staying in local? Are you
staying
going,
in town.
Yeah?
Staying in town, yeah. It's
Christmas
been,
a big event at the household?
It is a big event, yeah. It is big, and you know, I just, packing up and traveling somewhere just
especially with children.
I know, but
to
go, because you're
me.
From Canada.
Yeah.
So to go back to Canada and have your, because you do the, like the horse and carriage and the snow.
It'd be so nice. I, you know, I miss that. But,
yeah.
you know, it's also a great thing in L.A. Like, it's desolate. Like, everybody goes away. So you get to experience, you know, L.A. and California, what it must have been like back in the 30s and 40s.
And then you realize it doesn't really take very long to get anywhere. Like, you're like, oh,
yeah.
my God, it
yeah.
usually takes me 2 hours. I can get somewhere in 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's
what
like
hell?
It's paradise.
Do you
right.
get good gifts or when you're opening up your presents, they all kind of suck and everyone else gets something nice?
No, I always get really good gifts.
Really? Okay,
T is the best gift giver in the world.
What'd you ask for this
like,
year?
Like, she'll remember something I mentioned a year ago and it's like, there it is. Like, what?
But you're that guy. You're that guy too, because like on a random Tuesday, and I know what your thought's going to be. But like on a random Tuesday, you'd be like, "Hey, babe, come here. Wanna, and then you,
hey,
you went jewelry shopping or whatever. You get like you know little pieces of jewelry and baubles for her and stuff. You're good about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good about that. Which reminds me, jewelry. I gotta go and see Neil.
Does that raise suspicions when it's a random Tuesday and it's like, hey, you wanna buy a bracelet? She's like, Dean. Come on, man. Tell
what?
Me.
What
what's
should
going
I be
on, man?
About?
No.
No,
because
he's been away from the beginning.
You know, I'm the gift giver that I like to kinda like bait and switch. He's like, you know, Frank, that helmet you really wanted, they didn't have it, but, you know, I got you this instead, and I might wrap it in a big box, and it's that helmet that you
right.
wanted.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
like,
okay, yeah,
I
yeah.
like to kind of
yeah,
change it up.
Our big gift giving is tomorrow. We always had, like, who wins Christmas and stuff, so I think I won, like, consecutive every single year so
oh,
far.
Oh, please.
Right?
What do you do? Well,
every year it's a little bit different. What did you get me last year? You got me a black t-shirt and a pair of jeans?
I got you
I
got you monocular because he's only got one eye. He can only see out of one eye. And he's like,
what?
I hate binoculars
well,
because I can't.
I can see. My left eye was poked out when I was 3 years old. Or poked in With a right, stick. Right. You got kids?
Mom or dad?
My sister.
Not listening?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And that was my sister, who was 4 years older than I was. She was seven, I was three. And we were out in the garage playing with paint sticks. And she was like, hey, and just stabbed me right in the eye. And I'm able to see out of it.
Is that where the saying came from? It's all fun and games? You're that old?
It was 1973.
I was the first one to ever say that. I was like, that was fine until me.
I'm going to write that down. It's a good saying.
And then it just stuck with everybody.
Right.
That would make a good T-shirt,
right? Ooh, that's a good idea. I'll write that down.
We're talking about stay the same as far as like being a father, and if you enjoyed motorcycle riding or just doing something that was risky, dirt bike riding. And I know a lot of people do that here. That when you get a kid, you kind of give up all that stuff, and you start seeing everything bad that can happen, and you lose who you were. And then, you want your kids to see who you were and have that same kind of.
That's what I believe in. You know, it's just like this is what dad does, and you know, and I know it's dangerous and risky, but I've filled my head full of knowledge. What can go wrong? What's great about it? And I want you to be able to do the same, because I grew up afraid of a lot of things. You know, I wanted to scuba dive my whole life, and I was petrified of sharks. And it wasn't until I'm like 41 I go out and I'm like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being afraid of stuff. Yeah. And I go, and now I'm like obsessed with sharks. I dive with sharks all the time. I love it. So I don't want my kids to grow up that way. But I do want to instill upon them, you know, the good things and the bad things that can happen.
It's funny that you were scared of sharks. That's why you didn't scuba dive. And then when you started diving with them, as opposed to just, you know, are there any sharks in the water? No. Okay, I'll get in now. So you scuba diving. It's like, no, where are the sharks? I'm jumping in.
No. It wasn't like that. It was just like, you know, you get in and I'm like, okay, I'm still. And it's like, oh, hey, I see a shark. That's not that bad. And, you know, and then when you have these encounters with sharks, like I've been this close to a 6-foot Galapagos shark. And this was like, that was awesome.
Now, is it always like, because you always hear that sharks don't really want to eat humans. They're disappointed when they bite into us because they think you're a seal, and they're like.
So now I've become the other way. I'm like, I'm an advocate for sharks. I mean, they're so misunderstood.
Right.
You know, it is. We're not on their food chain. You know, we're not fatty and blubbery and taste good. And they don't have hands and fingers to kind of go, hey, what's that? They mouth everything, and they happen to have razor blades.
Oh, that was a surfer. That was horrible. Like, I thought that was a seal.
And it's unfortunate, you know, people lose limbs in their lives. But,
you're not afraid of it anymore.
No. I'm just tired of living my life, you know, being afraid.
I wish I was more like that. I grew up the same way. I'm a hypochondriac. I'm afraid of everything. If I have an ache or a pain, I'm like, uh-oh. Oh, that feels a little swollen. I probably have cancer. It's horrible.
Okay, but that would be really unfortunate. But why live every minute in fear of that? It is that until you go to the doctor and they're like, oh, it's nothing. And they're like, oh.
Yeah, but I'll
once you find out.
Dean, you're making sense. She doesn't. She has no idea.
No, I want to be that
when
way.
When happens, that sense comes, she's like, I'm out.
I know. 2015 is going to be a new me. I'm not going to worry
so
about
how,
that.
So how do you want to go one day when it's time for Dean to check the clock.
Shuffle
for life.
Off this mortal coil.
Yeah. How do you want to go?
How do I want to go? I can't say on the radio.
The night of your 99th birthday, you just have a encounter.
Or maybe you didn't want to be 99. Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like now you swim with sharks. Do you want to be eaten by a shark?
No. I'm thinking, no, me, my wife.
No, life is good right now.
Poppers. Yeah.
Any deathbed confessions, are you all laid out on the table?
I'm all laid out on the table,
like,
man.
Which is kind of it's got to be sort of freeing, where you're like, go ahead and dig. Everything's out there now.
It is and it isn't. You know, I don't know. It's so bizarre. I can't put it in.
No, I get
it. Sitting here, and you guys know more about me than anybody. You know, I mean, it's just when you're a room full of strangers, you see people in the supermarket, and they may look at you like they recognize you, and it's just like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I put that. You probably know I did that.
Great.
We get a lot of that, too, because, in here, you know, we're just trying to entertain ourselves as much as everybody else. And then when we go out and people have listened to the show, I mean, Heidi, we've been together for almost 15 years. Yeah. I've been in L.A. for 17. So there's people that have listened to the show I've raised them. And so when they meet you, it's like they know everything about you. Like, hey. And it is kind of weird that people know who you are.
Yeah, somebody's like 30 and they're like, oh, my God, I've been listening to you since I was 15 and I know it. And you're like, wow, you know. Like, you know everything. Like, I know nothing about you, and you know everything about me.
It kills me when people come up and go, hey, Stella, Hattie, Finn. I'm like, ah!
So true and so weird.
Dean McDermott hanging out with us, recently announced that she would no longer be participating in the show True Tory, and what, season two just wrapped with the dramatic,
yes,
dramatic ending.
Yes.
And so is there a possibility?
I guess it was a dramatic ending. I don't watch the show, so
yeah,
I don't know what the ending
was. I can see
how
you wouldn't want to watch that show.
I could tell you, but I won't.
But here's the thing.
Tell me during the break. I don't want to cry.
Yeah.
I don't want to cry.
Here's my question, because on all your previous show, you had the Gunkles. You had a certain group of friends that were always sort of around, which I loved and people loved. And then on True Tory, none of those same people were there.
Well, Moran was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah, he's always there. Yeah, Billy and Scout, the Gunkles, you know, they were busy
with their kids and all that.
Yeah,
so.
And they've adopted another little one, so they were super busy. They were right in the thick of that.
Okay.
So
it wasn't like, I don't want to be involved in that show because of what that show is.
No,
so it's like,
no,
I don't
want
to be.
No,
that's sort of your deal, personal, and I don't.
We didn't want to kind of bring what we were doing and going through to their wonderful, positive experience.
It was more about the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does Tori know you listen to this show?
Oh, yeah. She listens with me.
Hey, Tori.
Is she listening right now?
Maybe not. When I left this morning, she was like,
But we do know this.
Kiss.
Well, Laura Miller's listening. We do know that.
Your yes, Laura, yes.
Hey, Laura.
Laura, you're awesome. And a sexy lady friend of mine, Sammy's mom, Kate.
Oh, Kate's excited.
Hey, mama.
So since Tori's not listening, what topic, when she starts talking about something, what do you tune out of the most? Like when she starts talking, you're like, and your brain just goes someplace else because you've heard it 1,000 times. It's like she's talking and you're like, Like with my lady, it's her feelings.
Oh, all right.
I just tune out right away. Or diet and nutrition. It's like, oh, gluten this, gluten that, read the labels, I'm out. But she'll talk for 10 minutes and I have no idea what she said. Is there something that Tori talks about that you just tune out instantly?
Not as of lately, because that was my go-to. You know, I would tune out and not be present.
See, Frank.
You know, but not just for her, but for the kids, for life. You know, I would just check out. So I try to be as present for everything, whether I like it or not. Whether it's a Dean, you're an idiot, or you know, it's, hey, you know, the dogs. We have 6 dogs, so it's just like there's always some kind of issue with the dogs. So I try
and
to stay.
How's Coco the chicken? Coco the chicken.
You got a chicken too?
Coco the chicken is, she's amazing.
No, she's like not a regular
chicken
though.
Chicken.
She is.
It's a silky bearded chicken.
It's amazing.
And she looks like she thinks she's a cat. She lives in our bathroom.
It's awesome. Like you would love this chicken.
It's a beautiful chicken. She comes to her name. She's awesome. She sleeps in a little doggy bed. But I mean, I walk in the bathroom in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and it's just like I'm just dried chicken poop everywhere, and it drives me insane.
Yeah.
Insane. So, but I think there's a lot of reverse checking out, like especially when you know I say to Tori, "It's like we got to do something with this chicken in the bathroom. And there's poop everywhere,"
she just doesn't
hear it.
Coco's so pretty.
But she's so she's like, yeah, I know, but she's so good. She's so amazing. She just sleeps in her dog bed if you put her there. I was like, yeah, but I don't.
Where did you find Coco
it's
the
not
chicken?
It's like a furry chicken. It's not like a chicken.
People think she's a cat.
Yeah.
She looks like a Persian cat.
Right. But she's a
chicken.
What? Yeah, pull up
this
silky bearded chicken.
Chicken. I gotta see a chicken.
It's crazy.
Like
you're like, oh, that's a cat. What?
No,
that's
actually just very beautiful. Chickens make great pets. They're very social.
Does it lay eggs?
She stopped laying eggs.
Okay. Oh, she's
laying
menopausal.
These little,
she's a menopausal chicken.
She used to lay these little tiny blue eggs that were they're a delicacy. There she is. We'll go back to the white one, Eric.
Oh my God.
There she is. Look at that.
That is. Insane. It looks like a muff that you put your hands in.
Yeah, it's like something you'd see in like Zsa Zsa Gabor's head or something.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Or you stick your hands
in. And that lives
in
your bathroom.
One in the beak. You stick one hand in her beak or one in her butt.
Well, when she passes away.
Right?
Heaven forbid.
But
there she is. Yeah, that's Coco.
That you eat the blue eggs?
Yeah, they're delicious. And actually, silky bearded chickens, have you ever heard of a black chicken?
Please.
That's what they are. That's what a silky is. You got your regular chickens.
Okay.
Like she's so, you take off all her feathers and she's so dark purple that she's black.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. So some restaurants serve black chicken and that's what it is. But the eggs are a delicacy. They're like little, they're almost like quail eggs.
Okay. Whoa. Yeah. That's crazy. So they would just.
Did you have to sneak that? Because I can't imagine Tori's in there like harvesting these small eggs, making you an omelet in the morning. It seems like she'd be like, okay, that's our pet.
That's Coco's eggs.
No,
it's our pet's babies.
But they're not, because they're not fertilized.
Yeah, but I figured you were like sneaking them or something.
It's I eat them. They're amazing.
I'm curious about them.
Just this morning, and I was having a coffee, and we have like that little wire chicken basket, and we have another little tiny white chicken that's like just a normal little chicken. And
oh, it's not like a.
She lays an egg every day, and they're about that big. And there's a whole little basket. I got about a dozen in there, and I'm like,
that's the thing to have though in Hollywood.
I'm making eggs when I get home.
I've never had a fresh egg. Ever.
Oh, Mike, I wish I'd have known.
I've never, like, oh, that's from this morning, or that we got that last week. It's different.
Everybody I've given an egg to has gone out and got a chicken. It's night and day. It's night and day.
I'm super curious, yeah, about what.
You will never eat a store-bought egg again.
But the thing is, in order to...
You probably can't describe what's night and day about an egg to us to make us understand. You have to actually taste it, and it would be...
You
can see it visually. The yolk, the Khaleesi, everything about it you can see.
Like a brighter yolk? Like a
brighter yolk, okay. Firmer white, really bright.
That's all you need is chickens. Come on.
And now I have seven animals.
You do need chickens. What? Yeah. Do it.
I get some chickens. I don't know where I'd put them. I don't know. Where do you? I have to keep them in the house.
Yeah, put it in your bathroom.
Ay, ay, ay.
I got so mad once that I was just like, okay, you're going in the tub. I put her in the tub and she hung out in the tub.
She can't get out of the tub.
Yeah. And she pooped in the tub. It was great. It didn't end up on my feet.
Love it.
Well, I think you should have a spinoff of you and the chicken.
Yes, Dean and the chicken.
Oh my God.
If you're
not
going to
be on True Tory, it's Dean and the chicken.
Bravo, Oxygen, TLC.
Immediately
let's do
follows True Tory.
Yeah, maybe we'll do like a pickup, like a takeoff of Chico and the Man.
Oh,
it's
my
Dean and the
chicken.
And I run a garage. And
oh, my God.
You two go fight crime together. It's like, you know, it's this whole thing, you know.
I mean, I would watch it.
It'd be great. Dean, thank you so much for coming in. I know that you participated with Eric.
I did.
And you did a mystery news.
I got to plug one thing. CSI, the 28th. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was supposed to be on the 14th of this month, and it's the 28th, so...
CSI.
I did, yes.
CBS.
My foray back into the acting world.
Love and it. You're a big fan of Mystery News Theater that we do on the show.
Yes, I am. I love it. Eric, you're a genius.
So talented, yeah.
So I got a little something for you guys.
Yeah, the next Mystery News you hear will be featuring Dean McDermott. Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime, thanks for having me. I'll be here every day if you want.
Tell Tori we said hello.
I will. I will. Thanks, guys.
We're going to take a break. Come right back. We're Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.